Hey guys, welcome back to the Man Cave 4301 podcast. I'm your host, Big Kev. Before we get into this episode, I just want to thank everyone that has shown me support. I'm starting to get messages come through about people that love the show and they want to hear more. And I've even had people giving me suggestions of who to get on here as well, which is really awesome. And this episode is on YouTube and I've added another angle. So I've had a GoPro sitting here for a little bit and I wanted to give it a go and just to give a little bit more of an angle and just to change it up a bit for YouTube. Up and coming, we've got Sean McBride, Chucky Johansson, and we've got Seth Hiley from Brothers Unite. They're going to come on and we're going to have a bit of a discussion, so that's going to be a really good episode. Sean's going to be doing it over Zoom or Messenger, video messenger. So we'll see how that pans out. It should be a really good episode. I'm looking forward to doing it. Thank you so much once again. I won't take up too much of your time. Let's just get into this podcast. Our next guest is a chippy from the Gold Coast. Since 2011, he's been striving to help others in mental health after his stepdad took his own life. Struggling with his own mental health, him and a mate created No Mates 4x4, a social group on Facebook. Ben Lees, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, mate.
Let's go back in time since before your uncle. Sorry.
Stepdad.
Right. I just said stepdad.
You did, mate.
Just take us before that time. So you weren't sort of, it wasn't sort of something in your life to start with until...
Suicide?
Yeah.
Suicide wasn't really anything I'd really known about. I actually had someone I knew from school had taken their own life, but it was years after I left and things like that, so wasn't anything that was really
deep-seated
into my life. No, I wasn't close with anyone that had taken their own life until Dad. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've experienced a couple of friends that have taken their own life, but not close friends.
Yeah.
So maybe a friend's brother or sister or something to that effect.
I mean, it's horrible news to hear that someone is in such a way that they think that is their only option, but being a lot younger and stuff like that, when this other person had committed suicide, I didn't really
you didn't have that connection.
No, I didn't have that connection with that person, so I didn't shrug it off, but I went, oh, that's no good, you know, hope their family's okay, and that was kind of the end of that.
And then
got the phone call about Dad doing it, and the whole world turned upside down. So
how did that affect you in sort of the months afterwards? Like,
the short answer, it fucked me. It really did. I got the phone call. I'd only spoken to him not even 24 hours earlier, and we were planning on booking him flights to come up just to get away, because he lived in Victoria. Getting him flights to come up and just sort of get away from all the bullshit that he was struggling with back home. And getting him to come up and spend Christmas with us and just chill out and get his head right. And he was all for it. And then that was at sort of 10 o'clock in the morning, and 7 o'clock in the morning the next morning I got the phone call to say that he'd been found in his car. And he was gone. So straight away off that phone call, just because of what was going on within the family and things like that, I jumped straight onto man of the house kind of duties. It was my job to get everyone sorted out. So I then rang my brother and got him to go and pick up my sister. And got all that organised, and then I rang my wife, and I left work and went home from work and got on an aeroplane and went down to Victoria and jumped straight into organising his affairs and funerals and final bells and everyone else. You got to ring when someone passes away. So I didn't really take 5 minutes to let it sink in. And he actually had a good mate of his contacted me and offered to do his funeral. He was a funeral director, so his funeral was done by a good friend. Dad didn't actually want a funeral, but my wife and I borrowed some money off her parents and paid for a funeral anyway, because funeral's not really for the person who's passed, I don't think. I think it's more closure for the people who are going to miss him. And as a man who thought he had no one around him, or he wasn't a very well-liked man, we told everyone it was a closed family-only funeral, and just over 300 people still showed up.
Wow.
So
you just never know, do you?
That's right. So if he thought he had no friends, well, he had rocks in his head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of just jumped straight into organisation mode, and my wife was amazing. She held me together, and she actually wrote Dad's eulogy on the way to the funeral.
Wow.
While we're driving down. So
you guys knew that there was issues there, and, well, I mean, obviously the trip up was for him to have a break, to get away and sort of regroup.
Yeah, he was... I guess you'd call it bullied. He was getting bullied a bit at work from a manager. I think bullied is the right way of putting it. He was kind of just getting targeted. So if something went wrong, Andy got blamed.
Yep.
Dad got blamed. No, he did it. Or he was operating that machine on the day. It's his fault. So there was that, and then there was relationship issues between him and mum, and there's four different stories when it comes to that. I know what he's told me, I know what mum's told me, and I know what my sister told me from living in the home while the issues were happening. There wasn't violence or anything like that. I think they'd just grown apart, and Dad didn't really want that to happen. He'd given sort of 20 plus years of his life to this relationship, and it was falling apart. So that, I think that that rocked him a fair bit.
20 years is a lot to lose.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as some of my family now think that other parts of the family blame my mum, I don't personally. Relationships fall apart. It's horrible.
It's a two-way street too.
That's right.
You know?
People grow apart, and it does happen. I'm lucky enough I haven't had it happen to me. I'm happily married. I don't think my wife wants to leave. She hasn't said anything. I haven't been through that. So, but I do know lots of people that have, and clearly it happens. So I don't have any resentment towards my mum for their marriage not working, or any blame towards her for Dad committing suicide. At the end of the day, no one held a gun to his head and said, "You have to kill yourself."
Yeah.
He made that decision. He set it up, and he committed suicide. No one made him do it. It was the black dog. It was depression. It was that voice that barks inside your head. That's what got him. So, it rocked the entire family. Us kids, his family. So, his mum, his brothers and sisters, everyone were just blown away by it. He just wasn't... not that you can really pick the type, so to speak, that would commit suicide, but if you were going to... He just wasn't on that list. He was so against it, and he had that mentality that was the coward's way out. It was the weak way out. And that's kind of where I went after he committed suicide. I went to anger and resentment towards him. Because you start to think, well, you know, in your suicide note, you say you love all your kids and stuff. Why didn't you hang around? Why didn't you stay? Mm. But then you follow your own path of depression and you end up in the same spot where you've got your suicide planned. And you realise pretty quick that's not at all what's on your mind. So
yep.
There is, you know, the argument when you're feeling down, you know, think of your kids, think of this, think of that. They already are, and they still think that it's the best option.
To use a tacky metaphor, it's like the black dog's yelling louder than your thoughts of reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it drowns it out.
I speak to quite a few people. I get sort of on average through Nomates 4x4, I get probably 60 messages a week of people that are struggling. One thing, because people that are going through depression, you're not depressed every day. That's the thing. You'll get it in bouts. Well, that's my experience anyway. You get it in bouts. It might be 2 or 3 days, might be a week, might be 2 weeks, and then you get a couple of days that you're like, oh, I'm better. It's those days that I try and convince people. That's when you need to try and retrain your thoughts. You got all these people that the line, oh, just think about something happy. Just stop being so negative. Just cheer up. Just snap out of it. Just fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. That's the best way I've heard it put.
Simple as that. But I also push the positive thinking kind of mantra and the idea of positive thinking. My theory on positive thinking is it doesn't make the negative shit go away, and it doesn't. There's heaps of people out there and belief systems that go with, if you think it, it'll come.
Yeah.
It'll happen. There's one part they never tell you about, and it takes action. You can think it. You can think it all day long. But if you don't do anything about it, it's not going to happen.
Mm.
I think you mix that with the positive thinking idea. So you got a motorbike, a black motorbike. You'll ride up and down the road all day and you'll see 50 black motorbikes. You won't see one red one. You buy a red motorbike, you'll see 400 red motorbikes. You focus, your brain will focus on what you think about. So if your constant thoughts are negative, which is what depression does to you, you'll focus on the negative shit. So on your good days, you've got to work really hard, and it's not easy. And this is where society's kind of broken. Lots of people are lazy. They want the easy way. They want someone else to fix it. It doesn't work. You've got to work on yourself. On your good days, I think you need to focus on those positive things that you have. Your kids, your wife, your husband, your dog. The fact you didn't shit the bed last night. That's a bonus. Like, find something positive and focus on it. And it'll breed the positivity itself in your head. And then on your shit days, you've got a little bit more armor, a little bit more ammunition to fight that black dog. And your subconscious will do it on your behalf. And then you'll notice your 2 good days and your 5 shit days, you end up with 4 shit days and 3 good days. And then you can stretch it. You end up with 4 and 4. And you just slowly expand on that. But you've got to work on it. And that's where all these life coaches and everyone like that, they've got the, hey, give me $20 and I'll give you the answer to everything.
Yeah. Everyone's answer's different.
Yeah.
You know, because circumstances are different.
That's
they
right.
They can't give a blanket,
yeah,
you know, cure for this sort of
but
stuff.
But also, the answer is work. It's going to take work. You've got to work on yourself. So, and when you are depressed and when you are in your lowest point, you don't want to. You just want to curl up in the corner and you want the world to forget you're there. So when you're having your good days, that's when you've got to work on yourself. Don't try and work on yourself while you're in the hole.
Yeah, fight it. Because if you're focusing more than on what's in the hole, then, I mean, those thoughts are going to take over and
that's right. And
drown
just,
out the
it
good
just
ones.
Breeds, it just breeds more of whatever you're thinking of. So, again, the hocus pocus around your thoughts become things or your worry becomes your wish, it doesn't do it magically, but your subconscious will make events happen and you won't realize it. So if you're constantly focused on the shit bits, that's all you're going to focus on. Focusing on the good bits doesn't make the shit bits go away, just makes you stop thinking so much about them and you start to notice some good stuff. And then you notice some more good stuff. And eventually, you still notice the shit bits, but they don't affect you like they used to. That's kind of been the way I dug through it anyway. I battled depression and I got put on medication for it. But I don't think medication's the cure for anything, really. But medication, I still advocate for people to go to the doctor and get medicated if they are depressed. Because it doesn't make the problems go away, but it might take your suicide level from above your head down a couple of notches and gives you a couple more steps to
and
work
on
yourself.
It gives you room to breathe and time to think, straight,
yes,
and get on the right path.
That's right.
And because, I mean, obviously when you're depressed and you're at that stage, your mind is so clouded that those coping mechanisms won't get through properly, or the thoughts of getting better won't get through.
Yeah.
So having that medication will just bring you down a couple of levels, and then you're able to think clearer and actually start to process stuff better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, there are a lot of medications out there that they can sort of zombify you, and you end up on a dosage so high, you kind of just stop giving a shit about anything.
Mm.
And you think, sick, I don't care. But
what quality of life is that?
It's a good place to be if you are suicidal, because it brings you well away from that. But I think you need to then start looking and working on the root cause of why you're depressed. And again, there's 100 different treatments or treatment options. And depending on who you talk to, which one's the best? You go to a shrink, you go to the doctor, you go to the psych ward, you can go and see Buddha, you can join a religion or take up religion or whatever you do with religion. Mm. I've got no idea. But whatever works for you.
Mm.
You know, I went and saw a lady who's, I think she calls herself a spiritual guide or a soul guide, and she's all about the energies that a person puts out. Everyone's an energy force. And I mean, some of the stuff that she teaches helped me. And I'm not in any way, shape or form from Nimbin or any of that hippie sort of stuff, but it worked. But I also saw a shrink and I also got medicated. I tried 4 different types of treatment and they all worked in their own way.
Yeah, it's like saying to someone, if you go to a pizza shop and you get your pizza and it's shit, you don't stop eating pizza. You just go and get pizza from somewhere else.
Yeah, get a different one.
Yeah. So
exactly.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I advocate still, even though I've copped a little bit of slack actually for saying go and get medicated, go and get medically diagnosed, self-diagnosing yourself
do
with
not,
depression.
Please do not Google
don't do that.
Your symptoms.
Don't do that. Self-diagnosis. I don't know who it is, but it was years ago. So there's a quote floating around by someone. Before you diagnose yourself with depression, first check you're not surrounded by assholes. Because it might just be your surroundings. It's not the chemical imbalance that is clinical depression. It might be the circumstances you live in. So then you can just go and change a couple of things in your life and all of a sudden you're not depressed anymore. Clinical depression is different. You need to go and get medically diagnosed with that. then you can get the help you need.
Do you think that medical diagnosis is too easily given? Like for medication purposes, like they're not telling you to, because I mean I've spoken to someone before, and he said he went to the doctor and they prescribed him medication. They did not ask why he was depressed, where it stemmed from. Didn't ask him any questions like that. They just medicated him.
Yeah, wow.
And he actually came to me and he said that. He said they didn't ask me any of these questions. They don't know why I'm depressed, but they just gave me medication and sent me on my way.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that if that got reported to the right people, that doctor may or may not be a doctor anymore.
Mm.
Personally, I've got a fantastic GP. He's great. And he followed kind of the rule book or whatever you call it. And you do this sort of psych assessment. I think it's 10 questions. You get scored out of 38. I should know the name of it because I'm currently studying mental health. And I just did an assignment on it, but I've forgotten.
It's the beer. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Good old Iron Jack. That's a plug. You can sponsor me if you want.
Or me. any sponsor will do.
And he made me do this test, and you get scored out of 38. And I think if you're above a certain number, then it's bad news. And you're in this scale, and that's what justifies him either putting you on medication or putting you in a funny jacket. So I think maybe some doctors aren't equipped to make the diagnosis when it comes to mental health.
Mm.
I mean, mental health is... I don't even know how you can study it, because everyone is different. Every single person on the face of this planet is completely different to the one next to them. So to put everyone in this basket that, oh, he's sad, he must be depressed, give him some pills. Mm. There's thousands of antidepressant pills out there, and not the one I take might not work for you.
No, exactly.
So I'm not really sure how the medical system works when it comes to making that judgment. And as for old mate going there and saying, hey, I'm feeling pretty shit, what should I do? And then just getting drugged up. That's not really the right... I'd be chasing up a second opinion. Because yeah. That's really... If you were sort of suicidal and stuff like that, that's not the doctor you want to go and see.
No.
And it kind of takes a lot of faith away from the medical system. I think it is, with a few doctors, it might be like an easy thing for them. Oh, okay, yeah, you've got anxiety. Take this. Bye.
Mm. The thing is with mental health, it's not a cold. It's not a flu. It's not,
no.
You know, it's so much greater than that. Like it's...
Yeah, and that's where...
Someone's mind they're playing with there.
That's right. That's where I don't think medication is the cure.
No, but it's a good tool.
It's a good tool. I don't know if you saw it, but I made a video on No Mates about the nail. So everyone's got this goal, a goal, whatever goal. You can stand there and think all day long and pray and hope and dream that your goal is going to happen. But unless you get the right tool and the right support, and a little bit of effort, nothing will happen.
Right, you could bash it with a portable speaker all day and you won't get anywhere.
That's right, yeah. So I made the video on No Mates and I basically said, my goal is I want to put this nail in that hole.
Yep.
I mean, stand there and hold it there. It's not going to go in. But if I get the right tool and put a bit of effort in, it goes in. So now that tool can be medication. It can be support. It can be... psychiatric help,
counseling,
anything, as long as it's a tool.
Four-wheel driving
and camping, getting out.
Yeah,
instead of sitting in the corner, get out, go and do something. You know, one of the best natural antidepressants is exercise. Get out in the fresh air and exercise. Now the peak of fitness that I am.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I clearly don't take that antidepressant. But
neither. No, it's not the right tool for me.
No, it doesn't work for me. But it is. Getting out and doing something will help as much as being medicated. And there's been numerous studies that prove that. So,
well, I mean, if you're doing something that you love,
yeah,
like, I mean, it's going to help.
Yeah,
it's going to make you feel good about yourself. So the more that you get to do that,
yeah,
I mean, the better state of mind you're going to be in, aren't you?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we've all got a hobby. Unfortunately, some people's hobbies is sitting on Facebook trolling people. But
yeah, well,
you know, we'll go into that later.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I went camping last night. We were talking before. Yeah, I tried to go camping last night, but
top effort, mate. Top
I gave effort. Up because, oh my god, the situation was dire.
Yeah,
yeah, nothing lined up for me, so I was happier to come home and have a shower after a very long night.
Yeah.
So yeah,
That's a good camping story. I like that one actually. That's a good one. So.
Yeah, it doesn't make me look good in like a survival group or something like that. You know, no, oh, you can't deal with a bit of sweat and bugs.
talk to Sean McBride. He teaches survival.
Yeah, well, actually, he'd, you know, I was going to actually bring up that we actually met at one of the Mammoth Hunter meetings.
Yeah, Mammoth Hunters Club. Yeah,
With Sean McBride. And actually, Sean's going to be on next weekend.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's going to come. Well, we're going to do it over the computer, but I've got a couple of mates coming in. I've got Seth from Brothers Unite coming in.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yep.
And my mate Chucky, my ex-boss.
Yep.
And I'll say he's pretty level-headed. If he's listening to this, you're really not, mate, but I'll just say that you are. And we're going to have a bit of a discussion. I'm not exactly sure what the topic's going to be, but it's going to be around mental health and all that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, Sean's good. He's good for a yarn.
Yeah.
So
he's had one hell of a life, that bloke.
That guy, yeah, he's done everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still trying.
Yeah.
Still trying to do more.
Insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
my first ever time in front of a speaker. I went and did a radio interview with him last week.
I tried to listen to that, but I couldn't find which one it was because a whole heap of them come. I'll get you to.
Yeah, I'll flick you the link.
Yes,
yeah, to our part.
Yeah, do that.
But yeah, he invited me along, just to talk about my thoughts on the Mammoth Hunters Club and the idea behind it, which I think is fantastic. The whole purpose, tribe, and adventure for blokes especially. It's kind of inbuilt into us, and when you take
DNA.
Yeah, one or all three of those things away, where you just go to work, bash nails in a wall, go home,
sleep,
and do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, do it all again the next day.
That's probably what's eating half the men in this world, I think. Mm. You just got nothing outside of doing that.
Yeah.
So,
and I think, you know, I think that today, just living conditions, that's all that they allow for is just for people to go out, work their asses to the bone, come home, sleep, and do it the next day.
Yeah.
Just to keep, you know, the world turning.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might be another podcast, but I still think slavery's not dead.
Mm.
That's gonna raise some eyebrows. But
no, it's not. But
it's kind of, we're still a slave to a system, but now we pay our own way.
Mm.
And we don't get bashed.
Yep.
So, and that's got to add to the,
because we're just working for the big giants anyway.
Yeah. The working class does keep economies afloat. At the end of the day, we're the ones that spend the money in the pubs, in the grocery stores. We're the ones buying houses, everything like that. The working class are the ones keeping the country afloat.
Mm.
And if we stop working, everything falls.
Yeah. So treat us right.
Yeah, that's it.
There will be an uprising. Oh, we're not going to go into that.
Another podcast. Yeah, another podcast. Yeah,
that's a whole new blueprint.
We'll get Sean Barry in for that one.
Sean, Took up 3 hours of my time on his podcast. It was good.
Oh, no.
It was so good. Yeah, no, Sean, you're welcome at any time, mate. We could talk some bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a two-part podcast.
It was.
Yeah.
The one in so far only. Yep. See how this one pans out.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go back for your time after your stepdad. Like you said, you went straight into sort of father of house mode and didn't have a lot of time to process what had happened there. So how did that affect you later on after everything had sort of calmed down? How did that sort of affect you? Did that stem into your depression, or were you already sort of going through stuff at the time?
The more I learn about depression, I think I've struggled with depression for a lot of years, even before that, but wasn't anything bad enough where I wanted to take my own life. I spiraled pretty hard into my own depression. And when I did that, there was quite a bit. There was like a 4-year term there where there was some sort of arguments over Dad's will. Now, there wasn't anything big in the will, but some people disagreed with how he wrote it, and tried to fight it. So me being the executor, I just fought to make sure that the will was obeyed. Now, the will wasn't written that I got all the money and everyone got nothing else. It was written so pretty much everyone got an equal share. But there was one person in particular that didn't think that was fair. So I fought tooth and nail for about 4 years, back and forth emails with superannuation companies and lawyers and garbage. So I still didn't really take my foot off the throttle, kind of thing. I didn't notice my own downturn into depression, and then I was working within the EBA sort of construction industry, so the unionized construction side of things, and I was getting sort of the same treatment Dad was getting from his. Mine wasn't really from a boss, it was from like a group of work colleagues where I was getting targeted. I'd get blamed for all the fuck-ups. And that sort of made it worse, and that made me question myself as a tradesman and all kinds of stuff.
Having heard your father go through that,
yeah,
did you start to sort of pick up the signs yourself?
No, it wasn't until after. And I actually... My wife doesn't know this bit, but I had my suicide planned for a Monday morning. I was going to go to work before everyone else and hang myself in the smoko shed so that these fuckers that kept picking on me were the ones to find me. But one of the turning points was I went to an event, a boxing event, and it was kind of like in my head, it was my final hoorah. It was go out and get a few sherbets in with the boys, watch the boxing, go home, and just chill out for the day, and then Monday was it. There's a man called Sam Webb, who is one of the co-founders for Livin', the guys who penned the slogan, "It Ain't Weak to Speak." And he got up in the ring and did a speech about what Livin's all about and the "Ain't Weak to Speak" thing. And I was blind. I was out of my mind, drunk. And it was like someone hit me with a brick. And I just went, "Holy shit, what are you doing? What are you thinking?" And that was when I woke up and sort of went, "This is what was happening to Dad."
Wow.
It was that
fucking hell,
that night. So I sort of threw the plan out for Monday morning. I threw that in the bin, and just went to work as normal. But I stopped kind of pussyfooting around these people, because what I found was there's a lot of sort of politics, where like they would, that a lot of those boys, this isn't an unpopular opinion within that industry, but
culture
I was in the glazing side of things, so we were fitting windows to high-rise buildings. What I found in that game was there's a lot of guys that are really good at what they do, but there's also a lot of guys that get paid the same as the guys that are good at what they do, that aren't very good at what they do. And they're the ones that clan together and try and get you sacked before they get sacked. They'd stab their own mum to keep their job.
Right.
That's my opinion, and probably an unpopular one, and I'll get some messages over it, but eat shit.
That's great.
I stopped sort of kissing ass,
yeah,
to keep these guys on side. I just had this epiphany that weekend that these guys aren't my friends. And I started going to work with this attitude that I'm here to make money, not friends.
Yeah.
I got enough friends, I don't need you clowns. And that that upset quite a few of them, because what they were doing and what they were saying wasn't pissing me off anymore. I just tell them, eat a dick and get on with my day, and I go home. And
love it. Yeah. Yeah, I get where you're coming from as well. There's a certain point where I've been in the same situation where, you know, you're working with people that that try to ruin it for everyone.
Hmm.
And as soon as you speak up, you're the asshole in their eyes. And I'm just like, well, I mean,
yeah,
I mean, that's not the case, mate. And if you want to think that way, you can think that way, but I'm not going to be quiet anymore.
Yeah, well, I even had a boss, actually. It was the last company I worked for in the EBA game. And I'd told him quite a few times, in not a very polite way, to stop talking to me the way that you talk to me. I'm not a dog. If I was a dog, I'd bite you.
Yeah.
Don't talk to people like that. Well, he got reported for bullying, for talking to people poorly and stuff like that. And when I got asked about it, the delegate came and said, oh, what do you think? Is he a bully? I went, oh, I wouldn't say a bully. He's a bit of a dick, but he's not a bully. Bullies have got to be intimidating. He's not intimidating, he's just a wanker. Someone within that company saw me talking to the delegate, and then when it got brought to the boss's attention that he'd been reported for bullying, apparently I was the one that reported him.
Oh, okay.
So next thing, I get the punt 3 weeks before Christmas.
Of course.
Which was a blessing in disguise. My son was, I think, 9 months old, and I had long service. So I pulled my long service and I took 18 weeks off work, and I was a stay-at-home dad, and I hung out with my son. So
don't get much better than that.
Getting sacked was the best. Whatever, dude. See ya.
So going to this boxing match ended up being your saving grace. What was going to be your end game was your saving grace?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's unreal, man. That's cathartic as fuck.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And I actually, quite a few years later, I still slipped into depression and sort of fought pretty hard to not commit suicide. But I reached out to Sam Webb and said, man, what you guys do is awesome. How can I get behind it, you know? And I mean, they're a non-for-profit organization, so they sell shirts and hats and stickers and stuff with the Livin' logo on it, and every cent you spend with them goes to, they run educational programs, so they go to schools, they go to workplaces, they've been to the mines, they go all over the place and do this program called Livin' Well. And it's basically teaches you, I haven't done the program myself, but as far as I know, it teaches you how to spot a mate if he's struggling. It also teaches you what to do if someone does reach out to you a little bit. Obviously, there's no right or wrong answer. But it teaches you stuff that people just don't know.
Mm.
And that's one of the biggest things. Like, we've got the message out there pretty well that it doesn't make you weak to speak up if you're struggling. But now we've got this huge problem that people go and speak, like you go and speak to your mate and say, hey man, I'm really struggling. I'm thinking about, you know, going out the back with the shotgun. Your mate shits himself. He don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not prepared for that kind of
thing. That's right. You on the back. Oh, don't do that, mate. And then they go.
Yeah.
It's not.
Or they just shit themselves and they're like, oh, look, I don't know, man. And then they just block you off.
That's right.
Completely.
And they just cut you out.
Because they've got no idea. It scares the shit out of them, that's like you right. said.
So now Livin is doing this whole education thing to not only teach you that it's okay to speak up, but what the fuck do I do when someone speaks up?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I've reached out to Sam and Casey Lyons. He's the CEO. And quite a few times I've gone every four drive event that I go to, the bonnet of my ute is one big Livin logo.
Yep.
And the whole point is to get the message out there. And when people ask me about it, that's the whole point. It's a conversation thing. People talk, and get behind it. So that's pretty much where No Mates, comes into it. No Mates kind of took on its own identity. My whole point was just to try and get behind Livin, but I wanted to do something that I was passionate about as well, which is four-wheel driving and camping.
Well, there's no time like the present to get into it, so you tell us about No Mates 4x4, how it started.
Yeah, all right. So No Mates 4x4, on the closed group, there's actually a two-part video on how it started. So the name No Mates 4x4 actually comes from bullying, funnily enough. Really good mate of mine, my best mate. He was the first one out of all of us to get a four drive. And we were, 17, 18, something like that. None of us had a four drive. So he actually used to tag along with his older sister who was in a four drive club. And they'd go around on trips and stuff like that. And there was one guy in there, he's older. I don't know how old. But he kind of took a disliking to my mate just because he was like the third wheel. And one day someone said, you know, you shouldn't be so rude to him, you know. Maybe one day he'll run his own four-wheel drive club and you might want to join. And he made this comment, what's he going to call it? No Mates 4x4. And we were sitting around. We used to have poker night every Thursday night, sit around thinking we're heroes, smoke cigars and drink whiskey. And think we're big, tough shit.
Well, you got a beard, so...
Yeah. Well, it's taken me until I was 30 to grow it, but, you know.
You hit puberty. It's the main thing.
Yeah, at 25. But, you know, everyone was sort of... A handful of the other boys would wander off, and my mate turned around and said, man, this dude said this thing about No Mates 4x4, and it's kind of pissed me off, you know? Like, I don't know what to do. I'm like...
Do it.
Tell him to eat shit, you know.
That seems to be a common
thing
that you tell people to do.
Eat shit, eat a dick, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, don't be around it. Simple as that. Like,
yeah. Change the channel.
That's right. Same as people that get offended by shit on Facebook.
Yeah.
You've got a finger, just keep scrolling.
Yeah, you've done it all day. Yeah. Why was it so hard?
Because it offended you. You've got to click on it and type, you're an asshole. Okay, good for you. So I made the suggestion to get a shit ton of stickers made up that said No Mates 4x4. And being apprentices, couldn't really afford to do that. But over the next few weeks, I got a few made up. And I said to him, next time you go to four-wheel drive, mate, just walk around and slap one on everyone's car except for old buds. Don't give him one. Give everyone else a sticker. That never really eventuated. My mate ended up with one on his truck. And
it's a fucking great idea.
I just thought, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, kiss my ass kind of thing to old bud. And then a few years later, I got a four-wheel drive. Another mate's got four-wheel drives. So we just stuck all the No Mates four-wheel drive stickers on the utes then, and it was only When was it? I think 2017. Me and Jake, the other founder of No Mates 4x4, we were admining for another four drive adventure page, and we went on an awareness run. I had It Ain't Weak to Speak stickers all over my ute. He had them all over his four drive. And we went down to Cessnock in New South Wales. There was a big enduro motorbike event down there. So it's only 900 Ks, apparently, 950 Ks or something, from Toowoomba to Cessnock. It took us 3,500 Ks to get there and 9 days. So we just weaved through the bush, just spreading awareness that it ain't weak to speak. It was a pretty epic sort of...
That sounds just freaking amazing.
It was cool. It was really cool. And Jake and myself, we'd never been away together or anything like that, so it kind of really concreted the friendship.
Yeah.
We got to know each other pretty well. You sit around the campfire and suck tubes all night. Some shit gets said.
You said tubes.
Yeah. Stubbies. You get to know each other pretty well. And I got talking to him about No Mates and about Dad's suicide and about why I'm passionate about, you know, Weak to Speak message. And he goes, you know what? The page that we're adminning for isn't really heading in that direction. It's aimed at something else. Why don't we kick our own off? And my mates that listen to this, they're going to laugh that I'm going to admit that I'm a bit of a procrastinator. I've got a brain full of fantastic ideas, but I never do shit about it. So I went, yeah, it's a good idea. We'll sit on it for a while. I just want to set a few things up first. And those few things never happen.
Of course.
So then 3 or 4 days later, I get this invite on Facebook. Come join No Mates 4x4. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? Jake had kicked the page off. He's like, no, I wasn't waiting for you. We're doing it. Okay. So we started off just inviting friends and stuff. We ended up, I don't know, we had 50 members. Told everyone what it was all about. And then they invited some friends, as Facebook groups happen, you know, invite your mates. And then we got a few people like bagging out the name. Why No Mates? You know that shit. Yous are idiots, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's the door, mate. Whatever. Mm. And the question got asked more and more and more. Why No Mates 4x4? So I thought, I'm going to have to explain it. And
do your own two-part series on...
So, yeah, I did. So I started out with the whole, mate got bullied, No Mates 4x4, poker game. And then I went into, in the second part, I went into my dad's suicide and how that affected me and how, you know, you wake up one day and your hero, your dad... Everyone's dad's on a pedestal. He is Superman. My dad's way tougher than your dad. Schoolyard stuff. It's just how it is, you know. And mine was gone.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. So that video there didn't go viral because it's a closed group. We keep it a closed group because of the stuff people share. Some of the things people share, you just don't want it shared outside of that area. So we keep it a closed group. But almost overnight, we went from about 200 members to 1,200, then to 1,500, now just over 1,700 in the closed group alone. And because of the closed group, I don't allow sort of company advertising or for sale. It's not a for sale thing. It's any of that sort of stuff. We copped a little bit of, not backlash, but sort of people sulking because, I want to talk about this, or, you know, you run I want to give you prizes to give away, but you won't advertise for me. Well, that's not entirely true. We give people a plug if they give members stuff or give us stuff to give to members. We just don't allow people to smash our page with
advertising. It's not what it's about. It's not about what it's mental for. Health, not that's your right. company. Like if you're happy to get behind it and support it, then fine.
Then I'll tell everyone that you're behind it.
Yeah.
Sick.
But it's not there for your free advertising campaign.
So that's why I kicked off the No Mates 4x4 Instagram and also a page, not a group. And the page is linked to the Instagram, and there they're the forms of social media that I smash out plugs for businesses that get behind us or get behind our members. I leave it out of that group. The group's not for that. So that's pretty much the story of No Mates and where it is now. It kind of took on its own identity from me wanting to spread the Ain't Weak to Speak message. It just took on its own thing. And we've ran a few sort of meet and greets and get togethers and things like that at a four drive park out at Gatton, Robbie Island, stuff like that. And they always seem to get a pretty good turnout. So, yeah.
What kind of issues do you get to deal with? Well, not get to deal with, but what issues do you deal with? Like, how much sort of interaction do you get from members reaching out? And
when it first kicked off, I was averaging 300 messages a week.
Wow.
I'm down to probably about 60 people would reach out. They might be the same people as last week. They might not. Might be 60 new ones, but on average, it's about 60 people a week that message me. You know, the issues range from losing a job to losing a family member to dealing with sexual abuse as a child, and now my brain can't handle it, or I'm not really sure how the brain handles it, but they're asking, what should I do? Because I can't deal with it. I can't live with it anymore.
So there's some stuff on there that, I mean, clearly you don't have the answers to.
No.
So, I mean, that's where the advocating for going and seeking professional help comes in, and just doing the best that you... I mean, we talked before about... just before the show, like doing the best that you possibly can. I mean, you're not there to fix anything, but you can aid them in giving them ideas and what to do, so that they can be fixed, get fixed.
Absolutely.
To some extent. Like, yep. I mean, sometimes it'll never go away. I mean, something like sexual abuse will stay with someone forever.
Forever. Yeah.
So it's not about fixing it. You can't fix that. But
yeah.
To give them the coping mechanisms and the tools to fix that is what they need. So you need to do your best to direct them in the right path to get them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think giving them someone that's willing to walk beside them. You can't fight the fight for them, but you can stand beside them and help them back up when they fall.
Hmm.
That's the biggest thing, is being supportive, being there when some people just don't know what to do. Excuse me.
Another thing is, you know, that support is much needed.
Yeah.
I have said this on the podcast before, but to build yourself a support network.
Yeah.
Because if you rely on one person, it's taxing on them as well.
Yeah.
So they can get fed up with it, which is completely understandable, because it starts to drag them down.
Yeah.
If it's constant. But if you've got a support network, a group of people that you can confide in at different times, so it doesn't wear that person down, they can all share the load.
Well,
I think that's a really good thing.
There's plenty of things out there that talk about if mental health was a visible disability, people would take it more seriously and things would get done about it. Also, the supporters, so someone with a physical disability, their carer can get diagnosed and can get help for carer's burnout or that they just get worn out. The same goes for if you're just confiding and dropping all your stuff on one person when you're struggling with mental health, you can burn that person out. So, like you said, build yourself a bit of a network and share the load. And again, that's where I like camping. Everyone sits around the campfire. You know, you've got a dozen people drinking beers, talking crap, and then someone decides to open up. Well, there's 10 people sitting around the campfire. That's 10 people taking the load instead of one.
Mm. And also, those 10 people can have 10 different relatable issues that might help them
out. That's right.
You know, like, I mean, support networks are the best
for
that reason, is because you're getting so much more information from so many more sources to help yourself, you know, which is awesome. And I love the concept.
That's the thing I'm sort of starting to try and push on Nomates as well. Instead of just getting everyone to talk about the problems they're having right now, because it becomes a very dark page, dark group if that happens. Get some people to throw up some stuff about their little wins, you know.
It's a fucking great idea.
Because you got 1,700 members. If 10 are battling with a breakup, and one person jumps on there, "Oh, I just went through this breakup and this happened, and she wouldn't let me see the kids, and I was a wreck, and, you know, this and that, and then I went and did this, and now I'm sort of on top of things and I'm going well." Well, then those other people that are struggling through a similar situation can take little bits from each story.
Mm.
And go, "Right, well, I haven't tried any of this yet. Let's have a go at that." Instead of just crawling up in the corner and going, "Well, you know, Ben told me I should try this and that hasn't worked, so fuck it, I quit."
You know what? This is... I'm no good at blowing my own horn, right?
Because you can't reach?
Mainly. Didn't have to point it out. But the main reason I love this podcast is that someone that's listened to it, they hear someone saying, "I'm going through this."
Yeah.
They can say, "Shit, I listened to this podcast. Here's a guy's experience and what he did. Listen to this. It could help."
Yeah.
And the more stories that I've got on this podcast that can be used in that situation.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, I was saying to you earlier before we started, I was listening. I haven't finished yet, but I was listening to Stacey's.
Mm.
Her podcast. Or her session with you, and just her outlook.
Session, you make me sound like a shrink.
You, mate, if it works. But her outlook that, you know, "Oh, this is life now.
Yeah.
I've got to get on with it. I've got to make this happen."
It was like, "Oh, I'm going to walk against this."
You're 22 or 21 years old, and you're in a wheelchair now.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't so nonchalant. Like, it was, but... I mean, the way she was talking, it was very just matter of fact. You know,
I should try and talk my little brother into coming on here. He, so my father remarried and had two daughters and a son. So my youngest brother, he had a motorbike accident 5 years ago and rode off the side of Springbrook Mountain. So 18 years old. He's lost the use of his right arm. He's an apprentice mechanic.
Oh, shit.
Loved cars.
Of course.
Typical 18-year-old young fella, out chasing women, fixing cars, drinking piss, having a blast, and spends 9 months in hospital to come out and say, "Oh, look, the movement you got in your arm now might be the best you get," which is... all but zero. And I'm sure he's had a pretty solid battle with his own depression, realizing that, well, shit, life's not going to go back to how it was. But to see him now with his girlfriend, and they're out living by themselves and just living life, he's gone back and finished his apprenticeship with one arm.
What?
He works as a mechanic with one arm.
My dad swears at a car like he wouldn't believe with two arms.
I swear at one when I turn a key.
Yours is a D-Max though, right?
No.
Oh.
Jesus. Don't be like that.
Oh, I'm going to have so many people just unsubscribe.
he's gone and finished his apprenticeship and works as a fully trade qualified mechanic.
Fuck
with
off.
One arm.
That's incredible.
And it's just insane.
Get him on.
I'll try and get him to get in contact with you.
Where does he live?
Down the Gold Coast.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah. All right.
I'll probably
Fuck
see him.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll see him next week. I'll have a chat with him.
All right, do that.
But yeah, just his story. It'd be, I mean, can't be similar to Stacey's, but similar in the way that it's a life-changing event.
Yeah.
It's completely life-changing.
And I mean, that's what we're after. It might not be the same event, but it's how people...
And how he got through it.
Yeah, how people get through it and deal with it. And
that's just it. That's the more stories you can get out there about that, then people can pick bits from each story. And that's what we do on No Mates as well.
Yeah.
You talk about your story, you talk about your battle, you talk about your win, you talk about coming out the other side. And everyone can take little bits from each story.
So you're now going through the processes of a degree in mental health?
A certificate. I was a bit I was scared. I was scared of a full degree or a diploma.
You've just got a better idea of how to deal with people contacting you. It's not a field that you want to end up in.
It could be to become a counsellor of some sort might suit me. I'm not really sure. I'll have to go down that path. But just the fact that the style of conversations I have with people, sometimes I am that guy that goes, "Well, shit, what do I say now?" And
we're all guilty of it.
Yeah. So I thought I'll have a go at this course. I mean, it's not a cheap course, and it's not easy.
Well, I mean, it's testament to you because, you know, you want to understand more, and because you want to help more.
Yeah,
you're not out there for, you know, just I advocate this.
Yeah,
you know, and go from there, and hope people jump on board and sort of get free crap and do it for the wrong reasons. Well, you know, like you actually want to learn to help more. Well,
that's the whole point, is to help people. I mean, if I was in it to make money, I probably could have by now. Because it is such a sensitive subject, people will throw money at it. I mean, I'm about 10 to 12 grand in the hole when it comes to money I've spent on No Mates. You know, merchandise, shirts, stickers, stubby coolers, hats, all this kind of stuff. And then we've given it away just to get the message out there. And then we sell some stickers here and there. And then the profits from that go back into the kitty to buy the next order.
Yep.
Or we build up to X amount and we give it to Livin', or we give it to a charity of some sort. There is zero money that's gone back into Jake or mine's pocket. And at the end of the day, I don't think something like this is something you can make a living out of. Or if you do, you shouldn't be able to sleep at night. It's not something you can charge for. You're literally just trying to help people realise that there are other options than suicide.
What I like about your platform is it's aimed at four-wheel driving, right? And, I mean, that in itself will draw that sort of those sort of people that like four-wheel driving and all that sort of stuff. And that's why I like that there's many different groups out there that people can try out for, like, I mean, it could be a gaming one, you know, people that like gaming or whatever the case may be, different hobbies, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
And, I just think that what you guys are doing is awesome.
Well, I think the sort of common interest as well helps.
Yeah, helps exactly. People. Yeah.
You know, everyone will jump on there every now and then and throw a photo of their car up and it's bogged up to the axles.
Yeah.
And then, you know, check out what I did on the weekend. You get a bit of a laugh and you're like, oh, you know, it was still good to get out on the weekend, even though I blew a front diff or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's that common interest. And I think, you know, we mentioned the boys from Brothers Unite. I mean, they're an enormous group and a fantastic group. And the common interest there is it's a blokes group.
Mm.
And everyone sort of shares their bit and stuff like that. Now, that's not something that I could have run. So my thing was I didn't want to see myself lose interest in it. So I picked four-wheel driving because it's something I love to do.
It's a niche. Look, it's
and it's something I can stay
interested in
because I love it.
Instead of a blanket sort of thing, okay. No, and that's fair.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
There's three of those guys just doing it, you know, a really hard job there. And the admins and the moderators do a fantastic job.
Yeah, there's a bunch of mods as well.
So they've got a group of people that deal with, like, thousands of members, where you guys are a small group.
Yeah.
But it's still helping.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and then that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have, you can't help everyone.
No, well, that's right. And so, I mean, I actually had a member the night that he attempted suicide messaged me and said, "You can't save everyone, Ben, stop trying." And I sort of went, "Screw you, buddy, I'm going to keep trying." And it's now, 13, 14 months after. And he's done a stint in a mental health ward, got the help he needed, got medicated, and completely turned his life around. Rebuilt the relationship with his wife.
Wow.
Has twin boys, little champion boys, a good job, and just killing it.
They had the kids after.
After everything, yeah. So... I mean, they're only tiny. They're only fresh out of the oven, as far as I think. But he's the success story that I swing back on all the time when I'm like, you know what? When I start to think, oh, is this really working? I go, you know what? Yeah, it is. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's killing it. Good job turning his health around, you know, getting fit again, just... killing it, and a top bloke.
Yeah, just a different outlook.
Yeah, it's just the black dog got him by the nuts, and he couldn't get away. And between myself and a bunch of members on No Mates, just showing him that a bunch of random strangers he's never met
care
shit.
Yeah, that's a lot of it too. Like, I mean, social media is such a cesspool. Like, I mean, you post something up and there's always someone there to shit on it.
Oh, yeah.
But then everyone's quick to jump on the bandwagon of that person that shit on it and just shit on them.
Yeah.
Where me personally, sometimes, if it's warranted, I'll go on there and shit on them. But a lot of the cases, you read something and... it's very hard on social media to get the right context out of any conversation because it's just words on a screen, right? Yeah. But some of the times it's like so far out there that you think maybe this person needs actual help, like someone to make it all fancy pantsy, but needs some love.
Yeah,
you know, and just to know that someone actually gives a fuck about them.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of times where I've done that, and not all the time, but they come back and say, well, actually, yeah, man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, you know, because, I mean, what you see on social media is a reflection of that person.
Yeah.
If they're shitting on you.
Yeah.
So what's going on in their life for them to be so cranky about something that's not even a thing?
I don't even think that's just isolated to social media.
Oh, definitely not.
Someone's being a dick to you outside of social media.
Yeah.
There's a reflection. There's something else going on because people don't just walk around being a dick.
No.
And if they do, well, they don't walk around for long.
Mm. So, well, that's what I was saying on Stacey's is, you know, how many people out there talk to people like they do on Facebook?
Yeah. Not many.
Not many.
Yeah.
Because they know they'll get a chip on the... on the chin,
So, yeah, I think social media has given everyone a false sense of security that they can say what they want without getting chopped.
Yep.
But
it's getting to that root cause of why they're like that.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to to figure out, because everyone's going through some shit.
No, that's right. But also with social media, you'll see the people that are getting on, being sort of negative and carrying on and trolling or whatever, they're doing it on posts that are really positive or upbeat.
Mm.
You know, hey, guys, check out what I did. or whatever. But I think no one really posts anything on Facebook that's a negative thing. I've said it a few times. People only post their highlight reel on social media. So, I mean, obviously on, say, Instagram, I pretty much only follow anything to do with four drives. So you see, you scroll through, you might see one broken axle, and then you see 400 photos of a four drive on a beach.
Mm.
Or a good-looking chick leaning on a four drive on a beach.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, automatically in your head, you're like, oh, they got the life.
Mm.
But then you think, oh, hang on.
Yeah, actually, Casey Meredith, when Madman Brad was on, brought that same thing up.
Yeah.
He said, you know, you look at these people on Instagram and they're all beautiful and whatnot. They, like you said, the highlight reel, and then behind the scenes are just miserable, sad people.
Yeah, yeah. So, either that or to, like, my social media is a bunch of photos of the BT50 all stick it up on beaches and on four drive tracks and stuff like that. But I don't post the 6 weeks of working 10-hour days to get enough coin up to go on the weekend trip.
Yeah. And I people just think, oh, yeah. You,
oh,
like
this
you said,
guy's got the life. Yeah, look at him.
Yep. Think, yep. They don't see the work that's gone
it's
behind
six
the
6 weeks of busting your gut.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even there's guys that own businesses in the four-wheel drive industry, and they post, you know, videos and Instagram videos and Instagram Live and Facebook Live and stuff like that about, you know, look what we're doing, look what we're doing. But when you talk to them outside of their Instagram, they're up till 10, 12 o'clock at night, and they're up again at 5 a.m. organizing the business. And then they do a 5-minute video in the middle of the day. Hey, check out what we're doing. And all of a sudden, everyone jumps on them going, man, I wish I had your life.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you really know what's involved in what I do?
Yeah.
You just see this bit.
Yeah.
And that's the highlight reel, and that's the bit that people, I think it definitely, it definitely has to play on the mental health thing, because people will compare themselves.
Exactly.
To other people's lives. Oh, I wish I had that guy's life. I wish I could do that.
Mm.
Wish I had his car. I mean, I copped it. I got talking about, I get frustrated about people sulking about financial issues being the root of their depression. It's not. Every single person on the face of this planet has financial issues, whether they're a millionaire or they're a janitor. One's either worried about keeping their job, or one's worried about where the next million's coming from. And everyone in the middle worries about finances in some way. So when they whinge about finances, it frustrates me.
Yeah.
But I've put every spare coin that I've got into stuff for Nomates. And when I do something to the BT50, put the tray on, put the canopy on, I get, oh, it'd be nice to be sponsored, mate. Well, I'm not sponsored by anyone. Yes, I have 5 or 6 different companies that look after every member of Nomates. Not just me. And it's not just me getting something and then plugging their name. Like the tray on it, I think I got a $50 discount to what anyone else would get. Where it gets serviced, the boys look after me. But they also, if you go in there to get your car serviced and say, oh, Benny from Nomate sent me, or it's got a Nomate sticker on it, you get looked after even better. That's what I'm trying to build. I'm not trying to build a sponsorship where I get a bunch of cool shit for my car. Mm. But that's the opinion some people seem to have.
Yeah.
You do something to the BT50, you take a photo, hey guys, check out what it did.
Jealousy mentality.
And you get, oh, you know, I wish I had the money you've got. okay. It's taken me like 3 years to save up for that, but all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Shit.
I wish I had the money you think I've got.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, so, and that social media and the highlight reel, that creates that, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, people look at it and some people play out others' fantasies.
Yeah.
And like you said, in a 5-2 minute video, you know, you see some baller flashing cash or whatever, and it's like, oh, I wish I had cash.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're like, this guy has got millions of dollars because he's flashing cash and driving a Bugatti.
Yeah.
When in reality, he's printed the money on his home printer, and he's gone out and
he's hired the car.
And I mean, Shami did a great how to look rich on Instagram.
Yeah, right.
And he went to open houses, and he'd like pose on the bed and do all this sort of shit. And some of the comments were like, oh man, you're balling and fucking shit like this, and he's just like, fucking these, you know.
Got no idea.
He just like blew that whole theory straight out the window, like,
and
he actually stripped off in his underwear, jumped in the pool, and dumb poses in the pool while people are walking around the house looking at this house that's for sale.
Oh, wow.
It was fucking magic. It was really good. Yeah,
that's funny. Huh?
Yeah. So he played to the stereotype and he showed you the comments saying, "Oh yeah, everyone thinks I'm a fucking baller now."
Yeah, everyone reckons I'm loaded. See,
yeah,
look at me go.
Fucking Jesus. Yeah, society, man. Like, I mean, run your own race.
Yeah.
Do what you have to do for you. Don't look at anyone else and think, fucking, oh, I wish I was like that. Well, yeah. Fucking.
But that comes back to that. Everyone, you know, jumps on and you've got a bunch of coaches or people offering these courses or these ideas and I've got the answer on how you can make six figures.
Yeah. Just give me 30 bucks. You see them at the start of every fucking YouTube video.
Yeah, just give me 30 bucks and I'll teach you the secret. The secret's action. They can give you all the secrets in the world, but if you don't do anything with it, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and social media is
probably why you're broke, mate, because you're a procrastinator. Yeah. You've got all these good ideas.
I've got all these great ideas and do shit with it. Yeah. So, plenty of other people have got my ideas and made money with it.
Yeah.
I've lost quite a few. I've sat down with people that I know.
Damn you, Apple.
Think about not quite that much money. But, you know, you sit down with them and you start, oh, I'm thinking about doing this. And then you think about it for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it pops up. Oh, guess what I'm doing? You're like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That was my idea.
Yeah. Oh,
whatever. Good for you.
Yeah.
I should have ran with it. Damn it.
I've had issues like that before.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
Yeah.
I don't have many good ideas. Too busy fucking working.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't work hard, so I just spend my day thinking of dumb shit.
Yep. I'm on the same boat, dude.
Yeah. My business partner's listening and thinking, yeah, you're right. You don't work hard, you slack bastard.
Go give your business a plug.
Business, estate maintenance and carpentry. So we sort of specialise in basically everything that is in a building. If it's in construction or it's been built, we can fix it. So from the kids punched a hole in the wall or thrown a ball through the window, door locks broken, to roof repairs, renovations, you name it, that's what we do.
Neighbour's kids going off.
It sounds like it.
He's having some fun.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. So, that's kind of what we do. We're just, business partner's based out at Ipswich.
And that name again?
Estate Maintenance and Carpentry.
Estate Maintenance and Carpentry.
Yeah.
Are you on Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page. I'm not sure if we haven't got the website up yet. So it's just Facebook page, really.
How long have you been going?
The business has been up for 5 years, I believe.
Oh, this is well established.
Yeah, though. Kyle and his wife Annette, they started it. And I sort of, after I come off that long service leave, the blessing in disguise of getting
your
fired.
Your holiday.
Yeah.
Wish I had that kind of money.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, so do I now. I was kind of sitting around starting to get bored. So I rang my mate and said, hey, you just got much on. Is actually we're just about to get flat out, jump on board. So yeah,
Brilliant.
I jumped on board. And so, yeah.
And you're riding the wave.
That's it, yeah. I mean, he does a lot more than me. he does all the organising and, you know, runs around talking to clients and booking in jobs. I just rock up and lift heavy shit and bash stuff with a hammer.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Yeah, well, you built for it.
That's it.
Not real smart.
That's when I can lift heavy shit. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. So,
I can't even lift heavy shit, man. I've got a bad back.
No, so, I mean, it seems to be a good little system, but we've dabbled in a few different areas. We've tried to go into the industrial construction, so factories and fit outs and stuff like that, but it just seems a little bit too up and down. So we'll come back to what we're geared up for.
Yep.
And that is the maintenance side of things. So that's what we do.
Creep your way in later when you've got a bit more experience and stuff. And
maybe. Or might even jump into something different. We don't know yet. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Well, mate, it's been an absolute fucking pleasure to finally get you on.
We've been talking about it long enough.
And I say this a lot, like timing is the biggest thing for this podcast, is just to line up times with people.
And, yeah.
I mean, when was that Mammoth Hunters thing? Last year?
Yeah.
What was it last year?
Yeah.
What, November sometime? Around November?
I think it was, actually.
Yeah, it was around that time. It wasn't long before I lost my job, I think. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been
It was a few months.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just timing getting people in here is a nightmare. But I'm starting to find some local folk that, like Stacey's, you know, from Redlands, so it wasn't too far for her to come, and Josh and all that sort of stuff. And I'm extremely fucking humbled to have these people come in to my home and, you know, and give their time for me. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean,
they're jumping on board because they know what you're doing.
Mm.
The whole idea is to get the stories out there. They like the plan.
And from Stacey's story, I got some feedback and saying, man, what you're doing is really good. And, I mean, that just reinforces me because, you know, I'm my own worst critic.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know the feeling, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, to get positive feedback like that is absolutely amazing for me. So it just makes me want to do more.
No, that's it. I mean, those messages and, anyone listening that pulls anything from this podcast and No Mates and Brothers Unite, the Mammoth Hunters Club, any of them, message the admin, message the guys running the show.
Yeah, let them know.
And let them know, because that one message could be the only one they got for the day.
Yeah.
And it, you know.
A lot of hard, you know, and there's a lot of hard work that goes into this. I'm not going to say it's easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because after this, I'll probably watch this another two times, just getting the edits right and, you know, and just producing this podcast. Like, you know, it takes time and to know that it's appreciated, just it drives you to do more and do better.
Absolutely. Yeah,
mate. Yep. Thank you so much for coming in. Love what you're doing with No Mates. It's fantastic. I got some stickers to put on my car.
Yeah. I told you I'd bring you some.
Fuck yeah. I think my scrubbers are gonna get a bit of a makeover. So
nice.
Yeah, fucking awesome, dude. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best in the future with No Mates and your family and work and all that sort of stuff. You're a top bloke and you deserve all the recognition. So,
thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
It's been a long time coming, so it's been good.
Yeah. No, awesome, mate. Ben Lees, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Cheers, mate.